Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome. It is the Prayer Closet, that half hour we take out of every day to lift up your prayer requests before the Lord. If you have a need today, a concern, a care, something weighing on your heart, let us hear from you. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 is the number to call, or you can email or text at prayer@eshome.com. However you get it to us, let us know what your need is. 419-389-0893. 419-389-0893 or prayer@eshome.com. And remember, we always keep your prayer requests anonymous. We never give out your name or information, so don't worry about that. Don't let that hinder you or keep you from getting the prayer that you need. 419-389-0893. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have to come together to pray for each other, to encourage one another, to help one another, support one another through prayer. And Lord, we thank you that you are a God who cares about our needs, to whom we can indeed come and bring every concern, every need, every burden, every joy, every celebration, every praise. Lord, we can bring it all to you because you care, and you care about what we have to say. You care about what we are talking about. You care about our needs. We thank you. We praise you. We give you all glory in this day, Lord, and pray that you will move with power and might in the lives of each one who calls in with their requests. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. Once again, 419-389-0893 or prayer@eshome.com if you want to get your prayer request in with us. And before we get into our prayer requests, we do always like to get into the Word of God as well to just get our hearts set right before we enter into prayer. And we've been looking through the book of Thessalonians, and so we'll be finishing that up this week, and we're into chapter 5, so we're nearing the end. We're up to verse 19. Chapter 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, which says this: Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. So again, Paul, at the end of his letters, often like to give, I almost want to say, popcorn advice. You heard of popcorn prayers as popcorn advice. Just quick, short little sentences saying, do this, do this, do this. Encouraging them in different ways of how they should live in the Lord. And here he is commending them. First of all, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. That, one, to encourage the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can dampen the Spirit's fire in a lot of ways. We can dampen the Spirit's fire, well, first of all, with sin in our lives. I mean, that will always dampen the Spirit's fire within us. So we always want to avoid sin because that will, it's like cold water on the Holy Spirit in our lives. So clearly that's the first way we can dampen the Spirit's fire. But also sometimes, and I think especially in Western Christianity, because of the influence of the Enlightenment and the diminishing focus on the supernatural, or twisted to the extent that it's diminished, it's become twisted, and we focus on the supernatural. We think, you know, occult and things like that. So if I see supernatural, we see supernatural all the time on TV, but it usually means like ghosts and ghost hunters and things like that, you know, a distortion of it. But the supernatural, the spiritual that's at work around us, that God is working in often miraculous ways and supernatural ways around us, that we do not want to dampen that fire, that supernatural work of God that's above and beyond what we do. And above and beyond just the physical world and the physical realm, that God's also working in the spiritual realm, that there's a spiritual reality, and he works in that reality. And that reality breaks through into ours all the time. And, you know, I still believe that God does most of his work through us as individuals. He works through us to accomplish his purposes. When we talk about miracles, you know, even miracles were rare in the Bible. We read through them, we see like, oh, every 10 minutes there was a miracle, but not really. You know, miracles were rare, and usually when people asked, like when they asked Jesus to perform miracles, he would never do it when he was asked to do it. You know, prove yourself by this miracle, that miracle. He'd be like, no, I'm not going to do that. But there's a difference, I think, between, we need to separate out the idea of the miracles and the supernatural. Because I think when we think miracles, we think of a specific kind of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus turning water into wine, walking on the water. These were miracles. But the supernatural is far... That happens around us all the time. Those things are rare, right? You don't see Jesus walking on the water every day. But the supernatural work of God in the spiritual realm around us is all the time. You know, whether it's healings for people that we pray for, whether it's provision that God gives in an answer to prayer, whether, you know, the work that God does to heal relationships, the work that God does to spread the gospel. You know, every time someone gets saved, the supernatural's at work. honestly, every time someone prays, the supernatural is at work. Why do we pray? Think about this. Why do we pray? We pray because we believe that the spiritual is greater than the material and that the spiritual can affect the material world. Why would I pray to God to bring healing to someone if I didn't think God, who is spirit, could come and enter into the physical realm and change and alter the physical realm? The physical proceeds from the spiritual, not the other way around. And so the spiritual is greater than the physical. And when we pray, we're asking that spiritual realm to enter into the physical realm to accomplish purposes, to do things, whether it's to bring healing or restoration of relationship or comfort or peace, whatever it may be. And that's accomplished through the Holy Spirit at work in us. As the Holy Spirit is that conduit for God's Spirit in the world and the work that He does. The Holy Spirit instructs us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. You know, Jesus, and go back, read chapter 15, 16 of John, Gospel of John. Jesus talks a lot about the work of the Holy Spirit. What are some of the main works of the Spirit? To convict us of sin, to lead us into all truth, to take from God what is His and give it to us, to help us to understand the Scriptures. A lot of that supernatural work of the Spirit is that. It's spiritual work in us. It's not always flashy and noticeable outside, but it's leading us into truth, convicting us of sin, maturing us in the faith, giving us greater and deeper understanding of the Lord. All these are spiritual works and works of the Spirit. And we know if we start dampening that stuff, you know, we're cutting off a major source, the major source of our power. It seems like we go to two extremes in the church. Either we so diminish the Spirit, you know, that just like, oh, we can't have any of these, you know, crazy charismatic stuff going on. We so diminish the Spirit that He just gets shackled, right? And is almost like doing nothing. And then the other extreme is the Spirit becomes almost like this fetish. You know, it's this performing circus act that's just doing these crazy and wild. We expect to do all these crazy and wild things, and it gets a little chaotic. And I think we need to find that center where we're not squelching the Spirit and saying there's nothing the Spirit does, but we're not, you know, going over here. And, you know, when people engage in like holy barking and things like that, sorry, that's getting a little ridiculous. So we want to avoid those extremes, allowing the Spirit to work, allowing God to do supernatural things that may challenge us and surprise us and not look like what we expect, but also recognizing those everyday works of the Spirit in our life. To lead us into truth, convict us of sin, to give us understanding and wisdom in the Lord, and recognize that wide work of the Spirit. So don't quench the Holy Spirit. Let Him do His work. Let Him work through the gifts. Let Him work through the Word of God. Let Him work through teaching. Let Him work through conviction. Let Him work through leading us into truth. Let Him lead and guide us in different situations and embrace the work that He does. Which is why, again, I think Paul goes on to say, do not treat prophecies with contempt. That we listen to these words, that God is giving us words, and God often gives us words. Sometimes He gives those words through other people, and that we can hear from other people. And, you know, the testimonies we hear that come in about YesFM, that say, people say, I heard this song and God spoke to me through it. I heard this word that somebody gave and God spoke to me to it. Somebody shared, one of the DJs shared a verse and God spoke to me to it through it. All those are, in a sense, prophetic words. They're words from God that are impacting people's lives. He talks about prophecy here. I don't think he's talking about, you know, people predicting the future and things like that. But prophecy is a revelation from God, right? So don't think, when you hear prophecy, don't think, oh, it's people predicting the future. That's not what he was talking about. The word prophecy is talking about a revelation from God, that God is giving a word to someone that's a revelatory word. It could be a pastor just preaching to his congregation. That word might just be for them, right? The congregation in a particular place, and God speaks through that pastor to give that word that church needs to help them where they're at. It could be a friend sharing with you that shares a word that is the word you need to hear for the place that you're in. And so we need to always be open to hearing that word of God. We don't treat those things with contempt, but we recognize that God can speak through anything. I remember one fellow friend of mine sharing a story about how, how God can speak through anything. He was sharing a story. He was untangling this hose in his backyard. He had this hose and it was all tangled up, and he's working to untangle it, and it was a mess, and he's struggling with it, and he was getting really frustrated. And, you know, as he said, he was about to, you know, on the verge of using some choice language to speak to the hose. And when God spoke to him and said, your life is like this hose. It's all tangled up, but I am untangling it and setting it right. You know, and he said it was such a profound moment. That here he wasn't even really thinking about God, he wasn't praying or anything. He was just in the yard untangling this hose, and God used that moment to speak to him. God used a hose to bring a prophetic word to him. So we don't treat prophecies with contempt. When we hear those words, we need to pay attention to them, listen to them. But as he also says, test everything. Right? Because there's lots of people out there say, I have a word from God, you know, and if that word is everybody should send me $1,000, I'm thinking that's probably not a word from God. Right? Just because someone says they have a word from God doesn't mean they have a word from God. Lots of cults and charlatans have been launched by claiming to have a word from God. We don't treat prophecies with contempt, but we should test them. All right, someone said they had had a prophetic word. Does that word line up with the word of God? Does it line up with the Bible? Does it line up with the long history of Christian teaching? If that prophetic word's telling me something dramatically different from what the church has affirmed throughout its history and what the word of God affirms, that's not a prophetic word. That's a charlatan, and I want to avoid them. Right, so we test these things. That's not testing a prophecy against the word of God to see and make sure that it lines up with God's word isn't treating it with contempt. It's actually, in a sense, treating it with respect. You're respecting that word enough to say, hey, somebody said this and I need to check that out and make sure it lines up with God's word, because if it does, that might be a word I need to hear. I need to pay attention to. And it's worth my time to check it out. It's worth my time to invest, to look at God's word and see if it lines up. And maybe I go and ask other people and say, hey, I heard this. And what do you think about that? I looked it up in the word and I see this and see that and it seems to line up. Do you think this makes sense? That's not treating prophecy with contempt. That's treating it with respect, because we're taking that word seriously. Seriously enough to actually investigate and look into it and see, you know, is this really from God? And if it is, then we follow it. You know, for every stage, we check it out the word and it checks out the word. We, you know, talk to other people and they seem to confirm it. You know, that's God giving confirmation of that word. So we don't take them blindly. We need to test that word that we hear, the prophetic word. But neither should we just treat it with contempt and dismiss it out of hand. Someone says, I have a prophetic word. Well, yeah, we know our tradition, we don't really talk about prophetic word. Well, you know, every tradition really does. We just call it different things. Some tradition like, we got a prophetic word. Other people are like, well, this is just a word from God. Other people are like, well, here's what God's word says. I mean, we kind of phrase it differently, but it's all kind of the same idea, that God's speaking to us. So don't get caught up in the phraseology and dismiss something just because somebody presents it in a way that's different. But that rather we treat that word as something worthy of our attention. It needs to be tested, but it's worth our time and our effort to test it. And lastly, he says, avoid every kind of evil. Hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Which is simple, but let's be honest, how good are we at that? You know, we want to hang on to what's good. We want to hold fast to those things and avoid the evil. Because what happens is the evil loosens our grip on the good. When we let evil in, it's like prying our fingers off the good. It just loosens the grip on the good. And soon what happens is the good starts to slip away and the evil starts to come in. But if we hold fast to the good, you know what? We're not going to have room for the evil. So we hold fast to what's good, avoid the evil, and that will keep us walking on that path with the Lord. This has been the Prayer Closet. Thanks so much. Remember, if you have a prayer request, you can always call the office at 419-389-0893, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's always people here. I'd be happy to pray with you. Or you can email or text prayer@yeshome.com. You can do that anytime. And you can also always get connected to a live online spiritual coach for an online chat session by going to our website, yeshome.com, and clicking on the chat now button. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow on the Prayer Closet.